You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
Jerusalem.
Hello, everybody. We miss you a lot. We are now in Jerusalem. We've been here for several days, and we're standing in front of the Church of Holy Sepulchre. This is the place that Jesus was crucified. And we want to say hi to you.
Hi. Earlier today, we were in Bethlehem visiting the Church of Nativity where Jesus was born.
And yesterday, we went through the 14 stations of the cross, kind of following in the footsteps of Jesus on the day, from the day that he was convicted to all the way through when he was hung on the cross. And it was very, very powerful and moving for all of us.
You know, we all miss you very much, and I've realized during this trip that the longer that we stay away from home, the more I realize its value in my life. So, love you all.
We love you.
We love you all.
We miss you. And we look forward to seeing you soon.
Shalom.
Shalom, everybody. Shalom.
While Pastor Kevin is away on sabbatical, we've had the privilege and the honor to hear from a whole host of speakers and preachers and teachers, some from within our own congregation and some from within the broader body of Christ, other LA congregations. And this morning, we have the privilege of hearing from another member of our extended family. He is a church planter, an urban missionary, husband and father of four. He has spent the last 17 years in ministry working to bring the good news to those on the margins of society. He has worked with agencies such as Doctors Without Borders, YWAM, the Salvation Army, Nightlight, and churches from almost every denomination. Please help me welcome Pastor Ruben Nuño. Amen.
Morning, New City Church. And what a tremendous blessing to be with you guys this morning and be able to share the Word of God. Amen. Very excited to hear the testimonies. Very excited to hear just all the changes that are happening at New City. It's just such an encouragement to be with you guys again. For those of you that don't know me, like Pastor TC was saying, I'm a church planter, urban missionary, whatever that means. Amen. We're defining that right now. Amen. And we've been very, very blessed to partner with New City throughout this journey. My wife and I did missions for 10 years overseas. We were in church planting in Marseille, France. We were working with church planting in Nigeria, and we were doing humanitarian work in West Africa and Latin America. And that, growing up in East LA, Southeast LA, amen, going overseas and going to Bible college in Arkansas, that was like a whole journey, amen. So never did I expect to be back in LA, involved in ministry. My dad passed away from cirrhosis of the liver when he was 50, you know, and felt like God brought us back, planted us here in LA, and kind of guided us through this journey where he was equipping us overseas in very various contexts to be able to deal with our city here in LA. There are parts of LA that do resemble third world countries more than they do first world countries. There are parts of our city that are very much far removed from some of the crisis or social justice issues in the marginalized parts of our community. So it's been a wonderful journey, and I just wanted to say thank you again to New City Church. We've been planting the church 4 years in the MacArthur Park area, most densely populated area west of the Mississippi, 133,000 people in 2 square miles, among the poorest community in all of LA. And my wife and I were actually both working full-time. My wife's a teacher. I was a social worker when God just really gave us this burden for church planting. And you got to remember, for me, church planting was, you know, you grab a bullhorn and you open up your garage or your living room. That was church planting. And by the grace of God, we were able to come into contact with this church and with Pastor Kevin Hall. And we were just kind of thrusted into this wonderful movement of the LA church planting movement. So it's been a very wonderful journey. And we just want to say thank you again to New City for your support, your prayers, for your friendship. I see a lot of familiar faces, some folks that new friends, amen. But I just want to say thank you guys for all the prayer and all the support, amen. We love you. And there's still some embers here on the stage, so I could tell Delonte just brought the hammer last week, amen. So I'm gonna try to. I could still shundo. The shundo is still up on it, amen. So amen. Let's get into this before I digress, amen. I want to minister a word entitled "The Four Great Commissions," and this message. There's some sermons that are birthed out of this wonderful epiphany that God gives you. There's some sermons that are birthed out of just this inspirational season. This sermon was birthed out of a lot of grinding, a lot of learning, a lot of trial and error. So I want to share some insight that I believe God has given us through this journey of church planting, this journey of trying to take the gospel. This is the Great Commission. The title is a bit of a misnomer. The reality is there's only one Great Commission, right? There's one Great Commission. Go and expand the kingdom of God, taking this gospel to the ends of the earth by all means necessary. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And as we will look in the four gospels, all four gospels record the last words of Jesus to the disciples. That was the Great Commission moment. I had the opportunity to be at my father's bedside as he gave his last breath, as he gave his last words to us as a family. And I could remember every detail of being in that room. I could remember everything so vividly. I would imagine that each of the four writers of the gospel would have recorded with great detail, with great exactness, what it was they were hearing the Messiah say to them before he departs. So I want us to explore what each of these contexts say to us, because each of four of the gospels record this moment where Jesus is commissioning them, but records it in very unique language, in very, very distinct context. So let's get into the passages and let's see what the Lord would say to us today. Amen. Can we do that? Amen. I'm a crowd participation type of pastor. Amen. So I'm asking you to nudge your neighbor. Amen. Say amen. Amen. And all that good stuff. You'll hear me say amen a lot. Amen. So I had somebody count one time and they said, you know, you said amen 98 times. Amen. It's a Pentecostal thing. Amen. Come on. So Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. I want us to start there and let's read what Matthew records as the commissioning moment. And chapter 20, verse 18 says like this. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I believe that the first commissioning moment, the first recording of the Great Commission in Matthew is a commissioning that I call the commissioning of the teacher. The commissioning of the teacher. And I believe it's the commissioning of the teacher because as Matthew hears Jesus tell him, go and take this gospel to the very ends of the earth, Matthew records this context. The verses that follow this commissioning moment show us that Matthew records this commissioning as in order to do three things. He hears Christ say to him, very succinctly, go and make disciples, go baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them. Matthew records the Great Commission as going and help bring structure and order to this gospel. Bring chaos, bring order to the chaos. Disciple them, baptize them, and then teach them. There's going to be a structure into the kingdom. And Matthew hears this. Here's Christ say this to him. I believe that in this room, there are all kinds of unique shapes, backgrounds, and experiences. Amen. My wife and I have kind of been fascinated recently by the whole Myers-Briggs thing. Amen. If you've ever taken that, you realize there's all these personality. There's ways that God has hardwired you. There's ways that you are predisposed, whatever you want to call it, whatever terminology. And here in the Gospels, we hear that Matthew records Jesus say to him, go and bring order, bring administration, bring structure, bring a flow into the kingdom of God. If you've ever said documentation is better than conversation, this commissioning is for you. Amen. If you are OCD, amen. If you go into your closet and all the color coordinated things are going out there. If you walk and your peas can't be touching the mashed potatoes and all that good stuff, this commissioning is for you. This is commissioning is for you. Matthew hears Jesus say to him, go
spread this gospel. Go take this gospel to MacArthur Park, to South Central, to take it to Beverly Hills, to take it to Pasadena, take it out there. But this is how I want you to do it. Disciple them, teach them, baptize them, get them into a flow. Now I want us to look at Mark's recording of the passage of this commissioning moment. And you'll remember, these are the last moments that Jesus has with his disciples. These are the last moments that he's gazing into their eyes and sharing with them his heart. Mark records it like this in chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. And again, it's the last red letters in the Gospels before Jesus ascends. And it says in verse 15 of chapter 16 in Mark, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Amen? I would imagine that Matthew would have included something about snakes or serpents or demons. He omits everything about signs and wonders. Mark hears Jesus say, go take the gospel, go preach, and this is what's going to happen. There's going to be signs and wonders. People are going to speak in tongues. Demons are going to get cast out. There's going to be healing. People are going to try to poison you, and it's not going to hurt you. He says this is the commissioning of the preacher. The commissioning of the preacher. I believe that what we see in Mark, as opposed to contrasting it with Matthew, is Mark has an emphasis on declaration and demonstration. Go preach, go declare, go announce it, preach to every creature, and then demonstrate. Go out there with the signs and wonders. Amen. If your favorite phrase, amen, is don't talk about it, be about it, this commissioning is for you. Amen. There's some folks in the church that are frustrated. And they're like, man, how come we just don't go out there, man? How come we just don't go out there and preach and go do this and go do that? How come we don't just go have this powerful time? You know what you have? You have a commissioning that really resonates with what Mark was hearing Jesus say. Matthew is juxtaposed, amen, in that he's saying, I want you to do this, but here's what you're going to do. Structure, amen. All the administrative people say, yeah, amen. I feel that. That makes more sense than just going out there roughshod, rebuking stuff and just doing. But there's some Matthews and there's some Marks in the house, amen. There's some folks that just like to wild out, amen. You were wild for the world and God wants you to be wild for him. God's uniquely wired you like that. You might be an ENFP or whatever it is, amen. My wife, you had to talk to my wife or somebody here that has that training, amen. But the reality is there's some people that are driven that way. And I want to just, I pray that today we hear the affirmation of heaven. I pray that today we hear God. This whole weekend, amen, is where we celebrate as a nation this time of independence and freedom. God has called us to be free, to walk in freedom, amen. And the Bible tells us in Mark that as we go out, there will be power. There will be declaration and demonstration. Now I want us to continue, amen, looking at the different passages and jump into Luke's recording of the gospel of the Great Commission moment. Now, Mark and Matthew have a very clearly outlined passage that states this mandate, this commissioning moment. In Luke and in John, you have to read a little bit, dig a little bit beneath the surface. But we know it's the commissioning moment is because it's the last words that he says to his disciples. So in Luke chapter 24, if we'll go there, amen. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. And I'm sure there's enough people that are from Fuller that if you hear me preaching heresy, you can just go ahead and shout me down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. I'm gonna read from verse 46 to verse 49. It says this. Then he said to him, "Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." That's it right there. That's the moment where Luke records Jesus' commissioning. It's as simple as saying, repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in my name. It's necessary for this to happen. And then in verse 48 and 49, we see the unique context. Again, each one of the gospel writers adds this very unique context in which they feel God is releasing them to fulfill this massive mandate. And he says to them in verse 48, "And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry or wait or stay in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now, I find this to be a very fascinating commissioning. And I call this the commissioning of the intercessor, the commissioning of praying. And I would submit that this is the only recording of the Great Commission that is not associated with go, but associated with stay. He's saying to Luke, listen, the gospel needs to go out. It needs to go out from Jerusalem to all the nations. This is what I need you to do, Luke. I need you to stay and pray in Jerusalem until you're filled with power from on high. Amen. As a church planner, I've tried everything to get people in church. Amen. I'll juggle. Amen. I'll go through hoops. Amen. We'll do raffles, whatever we got to do. Amen. I've learned something valuable in the kingdom of God, that it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by His Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. We would do so much more if we would pause and reflect and say, Lord, guide us, lead us by your Spirit. I believe Luke heard this, and he records this as his mandate, as his role to play in fulfilling this great commission. Stay in Jerusalem and pray. This is a powerful, powerful commissioning moment. Perhaps there's folks in the church who you've grappled with, perhaps a sense of feeling less than. Maybe you're not compelled to go to Kathmandu or to Africa or Romania to work in an orphanage, and you feel like there's something wrong. Perhaps there's something wrong with me spiritually because I don't have this overwhelming desire to go to Skid Row or to go to the marginalized places. Is there something wrong with me? I would say to you, if you have this passion to stay and pray, stay and support financially, there's room for you in the kingdom. Can somebody say amen? There is. There is. I believe that this is what Jesus is saying to Luke. Stay in Jerusalem, pray, intercede, create an atmosphere. Perhaps there's people in the church here in New City who you have a passion and say, man, I would love to just come an hour before service and just saturate the sanctuary in prayer. Just pray. You got a healing room, amen. You have the recovery thing. I think one of the powerful things about this church is, and one of the hallmarks of this church, New City, is that from every walk of life, you have people that are coming. And it's been noted in our city. You guys are making an impact. You've inspired and been catalytic in so many movements, in so many ways. Why? Simply because you're embracing who you are. You're embracing this uniqueness. Like I said, this sermon was birthed out of a lot of pain. I've tried being someone that I'm not, amen? It doesn't feel too good. It's exhausting. It's tiring. If you ever try to be someone that you're not, if you ever try to put yourself in a role, you'll find yourself burned out quicker than ever. Because you're trying to look, I'm not as good looking as Pastor TC, amen? I can't sing like Brother Delonte, man. If I could, my goodness, man, I'd have church all day, every day, amen. It's like the gallos come out real quick, amen. Chacalo will be taking me off in a heartbeat, amen. Come on, somebody knows how to sell the gigante, amen. Yeah. I've tried the different things. We're in an age where, especially in different realms of church planting, as a church plant, we were LACPM number one. We embrace the different methodologies. We're probably in an age of Christendom where we have more options to do organic church, church launch model, all kinds of models, all kinds of paradigms, all kinds of formulas. But you know what I've learned is be who you are and shine your light for Christ. Amen. Hear the commissioning of Christ. Hear him say to you, go. Hear him say to you, reach PCC. Hear him say to you, reach LATC Trade Tech. Wherever it is, amen. Embrace that. Embrace that. Embrace this role. And I feel like this is what God is saying. And he further illustrates it in John as we continue looking at these commissioning moments. The last commissioning moment we see is in John. John records it in chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. And I want us to look at that. So Matthew's commissioning moment is the commissioning of the teacher. Mark's is the commissioning of the preacher, what I would call the preacher. Luke is the commissioning of the intercessor. And let's look at the commissioning of John. And he says in verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Very as simple as that. It's not talking about serpents or create structure and teach them to baptize them, the disciple them. And he didn't say, he says, as the Father sent me, I send you. But in verse 23, There we see the unique context with which he commissions John. And in verse 23, he says this, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." What a unique, what a fascinating domain he's giving John. He's saying, if you forgive anybody, I will forgive them. If you retain the sins of anyone, they're retained. He didn't say that to Mark, Matthew, or John, or to Luke, rather. He says this to John. John records, he hears Jesus saying this. This is what stays in his, lodged in his heart, in his spirit. And I would submit to you that John's commissioning is the commissioning of the pastor, or the commissioning of caring. And to further illustrate that, it's the only chapter in the only book, Gospel, that has almost a hidden track, if you will. If you guys remember those CDs back in the day, you know, they used to have a hidden track, you know, like a little extra thing. Or if you go to a Marvel Comics movie, you always know, you stay, because they're going to tell you what the next mutant thing is going to be that they're going to fight. In John chapter 21, there's this interesting episode or dialogue that Jesus has with Peter. And it's recorded in verse 15, and it says this, "And when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. When you are old, you will stretch out your hands and will be and another will gird and carry you where you do not wish.' And he spoke, signifying by which death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Why would he have this interesting banter with Peter about fish? I believe that as John was hearing the commissioning moment, it was illustrated to him the role of caring in the body of Christ, the role pastoring, the role tending to one another's needs plays in furthering the gospel to the ends of the earth. He sees Peter have this bountiful catch, and Jesus starts grilling him. "Peter, do you love me more than these?" And if I can be a real talk, can I do real talk, amen, a little bit? This is the Reuben International Version. There's all kinds of Bible versions, amen. This is the Reuben International Version. You're not going to find this on your Bible app, amen, or in the Bible bookstore, amen. This is a real talk moment. Real talk, amen. Pastors and leaders of ministries, we tend to gauge success by numbers. Amen? We tend to, how big is your Sunday service? What's your budget? What's your monthly budget? We tend to gauge success with this upward mobility. I came into church busted, disgusted, couldn't be trusted, and now I'm driving a Beamer. I'm driving this or that. I'm driving a 63 beat-up Suburban. Amen? And don't got a hood. Amen? Now that's me. That's Mater out there. Amen? That's real talk. Amen? But here's the reality. Jesus is saying to John and to Peter, if you want to further the gospel, here's what I want you to do. Love people. Take care of them. If you forgive them, man, it's like me forgiving them. It's like releasing. If you retain those sins, they're going to see me retaining sins. They're going to see you're my ambassador. I'm sending you. You represent me. Love people well. In our desire to see the nations come to Christ, in our desires to see the city radically transform, we can make the miscalculation of trying to create formulas. We can make the miscalculation of trying to simply fill numerically the stat sheets so that we can illustrate how successful we're being. Jesus says this to John, if you really love me, to Peter rather, if you really love me, love them, take care of them, feed them. It doesn't look great perhaps on a stat sheet, amen, but it looks great in kingdom, amen. It's a representation. There's some people in the church here. Come on, somebody. There's some folks in the church that you're driven this way. You're a very observant. When somebody's sick and somebody, hey, let's make them a cake. Let's go visit them. Someone's in the hospital. Someone just had a baby. Let's go throw them a baby shower. Let's do something. Here's a single mom. Here, whatever the case may be, you have a role in fulfilling the Great Commission. And perhaps you've disqualified yourself. You felt like you were unfit for furthering the gospel. or for the Great Commission, Jesus is saying to you, as he said to each of these, the four writers of the gospel, go and embrace your unique shape. This should resonate specifically with this church. Amen. In this church, there are a lot of unique shapes. Amen. There's little muscles that are nowhere else in the body of kingdom. And you're right here gathering together. What an example. What a beautiful tapestry God has woven here at New City Church. And I want us to look at finally the passage in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, Paul seals this and articulates it in Romans chapter 12 as he's addressing the new church. As he's addressing the new church, amen, in the first century church, he gives them this passage to anchor them. He gives them these words. In verse 3 of chapter 12, he says this, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you." Somebody say everyone. "Not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who sows, shows mercy with cheerfulness." He's basically saying, whatever your role is in the kingdom, we need you to stir up that gift. Amen? Whatever your gifting, whatever measure of faith, whatever grace you've been given, activate it. Move it out. Move out in it. If it's giving, amen, make your checks payable to New City, amen, at LA, da, 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 da. If it's out in, if it's in mercy, amen, do it with cheerfulness. If it's leadership, lead diligently. If it's prophecy, prophesy, amen. He's basically releasing, and I believe today it's important for our churches. We're living in a time, and obviously as we look at what's happening in society, we see that there is a tension mounting. There is an undercurrent that's starting to swell, whether it's the situation in Charleston or Donald Trump being a knucklehead, amen, or all kinds of things that are happening, amen. We're coming up on 2016, the political kind of, you know, climax of what's happening. I can only imagine how much the rhetoric will intensify. There is a need for the healing of the nation, the balm, the bride of Christ to arise, amen. And if you keep trying to be somebody that you're not, guess what? It's going to look all bad, amen? All bad. And the reality is God has carved you, he's hardwired you. Some people here are, you're hardwired. God has given you the gift of administration. Some people might call you naggy, amen? You're not naggy, you're just administrative, amen? Let's just call it that, amen? You might be able to walk into a room and just say, this has to change. And you perhaps say, well, I'm not a very evangelistically gifted. Well, you know what? You have a role. Matthew says, go teach, preach, and disciple. That's a wonderful way to expand the kingdom. Perhaps you're here in the church and you've been, you know, you're a free spirit. God has given you an artistic heart. God has given you a spirit that just is wants to be unfettered. And for years, people have tried to put you back in that box and said, if you want to be in ministry, here's what you need to do. You need to kind of like settle down a little bit. You can't be so wild. You can't be so spontaneous. You have to do this. I beg to differ. I believe there's a passage right for you. It's in Mark chapter 16. He says, go and be crazy. Be wild. Go do something out there. And I believe that there's freedom in the house of God. There's freedom in the kingdom. We need people like that out in the front lines doing stuff that's just radical for Christ. Amen. There might be folks in the church today that you're contemplative in nature. You love the idea of coming and just soaking in the presence of God. You have a passion for intercession. You have a passion to pray for Pastor Kevin, pray for the pastoral team, for the Moores, for Delante, for the Paredes, all the folks that are involved, Sister Hannah, all the folks that are behind the scenes. You have a passion for this. And perhaps you see this as very un-evangelistic. I beg to differ. I believe that this is one of the most effective ways we can expand the kingdom of God is by creating an atmosphere where the supernatural is natural, where God can just move in power, where we can be endued with this spirit. And lastly, with John, we see this passion for caring, passion for mercy ministries. Perhaps you're here and you're saying, man, I love the preaching. You know, I the first time I came to New City and I heard Pastor Kevin preach, he's like, he's a lawyer. I mean, it's like, it's pretty, you know, you're going to come out here with like a at least a GED in theology, amen. You're going to, you hear me preach, amen. It's like knucklehead, amen. You're going to get some You're going to learn some words you never knew before. Amen. You're going to... There's room for that. Amen. There's room for that in the kingdom. If you're going to have people that come up here, and when they lead worship, it's just solemn, and there's just a reverence. It's wonderful. And then we have people like John's commission, the commissioning of pastors, people that are just going to help us gel and become a community. We can be a crowd that comes on Sundays, gathers, but without those people that have that commissioning of pastors, we will not be a community. We're not people that care for one another. How are you doing, bro? How's everything? You passed the peace, amen? But let's really break bread and pass the peace. Pass the peace. This is what with the commissioning of John. And this is that gelling process. Paul sums it up in Romans chapter 12 by saying, whatever your unique shape is, whatever your unique gifting is, activate it. You have a role in fulfilling the Great Commission. You're not disqualified. You're not less than. You don't have to be anybody else. Amen. It's too tiring. Amen. Enjoy your, look at your skin and just like, this is me. This is it. Amen. You smell the way you smell. You look the way you look. Amen. You do. It is what it is. Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, this is not to say you can't better. Amen. Improve yourself. Don't make that false conclusion, but I'll stop right there. Amen. Before I mess it up. Amen. I feel like it's pretty much right there, and we can go into another sermon. Amen. Delonte, help him out afterwards. And if you guys have questions, see Delonte, delonte@gmail.com, and he'll fix all the theological things. Amen. But I do want to pray for you, church. Amen. Like I said, this church has been inspirational beyond perhaps we will ever be able to quantify. The initiative that this church has sparked, the way that this church has been able to demonstrate, not just talk about multi-ethnic, multi-socioeconomic, come as you are, inclusive church. I remember the first time I read that, I was like a tongue twister. I was like, man, this is like very profound. My initial thought was, it's ideologically, it sounds amazing. It sounds so scriptural, so biblical, but what does it look like? That was my question. This was before I was church planning, before involved in ministry in that capacity. And I look around this crowd and I say, God has uniquely fashioned and formed this church for such a time as now. For such a time as now, God has woven this church together. And I want to pray a blessing on you, amen, today. Father God, I just thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you for your word, God. It is living and active. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. Father, I pray that every person in this place today, why don't you just lift up your hands right now? And Father, we just pray that each of these hands, God, Lord, we are your hands, we are your feet. Father, we pray that you would use these hands, use these feet, use these vessels, Father God, to further your gospel, God. Lord, let there be no area in our city, God, that does not have a representation of your goodness, of your love, of your grace, God. Lord, thank you for taking frail men and women like us, Father God, and giving us this commissioning, God, this opportunity to share your good news. Thank you for saving us, rescuing us, God, and giving us, Father God, this partnership. We bless you in the strong name of Jesus. All God's people said, amen. God bless you guys.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.